Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by. Well, Sunday, I preached a message that lots of people wanted a copy of. It's available to you at gregpatton.com, the printed form, the 10 most egregious sins that God speaks about. Do you know what they are? Some might surprise you, and one of them is the main demon entrance into the life of a Christian. You want to get a copy of that? GregPatton.com. Just say, I would like a copy of the 10 sins. Email that off to you, okay? Yeah, just get in touch and I'll send back those 10 sins and the message that I preached on Sunday. God is so good. He helps us every step of the way, every day. This is the day the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. What you are, what you've heard, and what you've read since you were born. That's you today. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Make sure you're thinking, that you're filling that mind, not with garbage in, garbage out, G-I-G-O, but with God in, God out, G-I-G-O. It's great. GregPatton.com. Thank you very much. In the world is going on? What in the world do you care about? What are most Americans worried about? Number one, no question about it, Democrat, Republican, Independent, inflation, or increasing cost? Really? Heading for $5 a gallon in gas here in Fort Wayne, Indiana? How about where you live? Number two, political extremism or polarization is the second thing people are worried about in America. Hey, it's the Great Divide. We've talked about it for months and months and months, and it's not getting any better unless people get back to God. Crime or gun violence, the third thing that worries people in America the most. Immigration, of course. Oh, they're flocking across the border. Government budget and debt. Climate change, I'm real worried about that one. Race and racism, that's way down the list. Number seven, foreign conflicts, the pandemic, and economic inequality round out the top 10 things Americans are worried about. You? Well, he wasn't on the ballot, or was he? Talking about Donald Trump, former president. The razor-thin race between Pennsylvania GOP frontrunners Mehmet Oz and Dave McCormick may be headed for a recount, as the candidates sit just tenths of a percentage point apart in the election night returns as of early this morning. It's so close, meaning that depending on where any still outstanding ballots fall, voters could be waiting days more to find out who is going to face Democrat nominee Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman, the open seat race that's crucial to control of the U.S. Senate. It's a key. Razor thin. That's what they're calling it. Will Trump's man win, or is he losing strength? President Trump. Strong, weak, or in between? What do you think? Maybe. Maybe North Carolina telling us? First-term U.S. Representative Madison Cawthorn lost his Republican primary race Tuesday to State Senator Chuck Edwards after the pro-Donald Trump firebrand's personal and political blunders in politics translated into voter unhappiness. Cawthorn called Edwards to concede the 11th Congressional District primary to Edwards. Against all odds, we fought hard to win this election and provide clear conservative leadership for the mountain, said Edwards. Now we're going to harness this energy, come together as a party, and keep this seat in Republican hands come November. Maybe a red flag here? The Republican Party has to move past former President Donald Trump. Really? Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson. To do so, voters need to see other leaders fighting for the same conservative values and issues that Mr. Trump was so passionate about. There is a linkage right now between him personally and those things that we really care about. De-linking Trump takes time. We have to show that we are a party of the future, not a party of the last election. And this is critical for us. Republican governors said that the party should focus on issues that affect people's everyday lives instead of harsh rhetoric. So, is this abortion issue going to get very complicated, even for those who are against abortion? Oh, I think so. Well, new controversy for Christians and conservatives. Abortion, we're against it, right? Abortion, we consider it murder, right? How far, then, should we go? Soon after a Louisiana House committee approved the Abolition of Abortion in Louisiana Act of 2022, the associate director of the state's largest anti-abortion group decided it was time to speak out. Angie Thomas wants her state to outlaw abortion. There you go. She spent 20 years trying to counsel women out of having that procedure. But to her, House Bill 813, aimed at punishing people who have had abortions by charging them with homicide, that's not the way to go. Thomas believes the women who have had abortions aren't criminals, they're victims. She said this is a self-defeating bill. And Thomas's organization, Louisiana Right to Life, said this is not what it means to be pro-life. And that's one of the issues Christians and conservatives are going to face in the days ahead. Immediately, some of Thomas's fellow anti-abortion activists turned on her. A few accused the nonprofit group of being complicit with murderers. Another suggested Thomas and her colleagues wanted abortion to remain legal so they could keep their jobs. It's a mess, isn't it? And boy, this one has shaken up a lot of people, and I think rightly so. The famed reformer in the field of psychiatry, who is spotlighting the Biden administration's stealth, I'd call it idiotic, stealth move to give the World Health Organization's chief unilateral power to declare health emergencies in our country, the United States, contends the U.S. effectively is ceding its sovereignty to the Communist Party government in Beijing, China. In an in-depth 70-minute video interview with WorldNet Daily, Dr. Peter Bregan discusses the startling implications for the future of the American experiment in the Biden administration's international health regulation amendments. The proposed regulations will be subject to votes at the upcoming annual meeting of the WHO's governing legislative body. Are you kidding me? The World Health Organization's other countries saying what goes on here in America, what is murder and what is not, and oh, good grief. I continue to say, we have lost our collective minds. And my friend, you know it's true. This country, the United States of America, is the one power that stands in the way of globalism. Many Americans hold to a Judeo-Christian tradition that God doesn't intend for us to be run by the communist Chinese or by Bill Gates or any of these Western or Eastern predators out there for the big bucks. A graduate of Harvard and Case Western Reserve Medical School, Bregan is 86 years old. He's known for the conscience of psychiatry, for the many reforms he's brought to the field, including stopping the use of lobotomies and electroconvulsive therapy, along with harmful drug therapies. His latest book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey. It unlocks the web of organizations and people profiting from, just one example, the plandemic. Oh, pray about this one and stand up and be counted. Just hard to believe, isn't it? So, gotta ask, what's it like at your grocery store? Yesterday, nothing on the shelf there as far as baby formula goes. Trying to take care of our 11-month-old grandchild here, and that is a problem. One of the men in the church said, I think I'll get you some stuff on Amazon. So I took a picture of our formula, sent it over to him. Not available on Amazon. Hey, a governor for the Bank of England is warning about the apocalyptic shortage of food, period, coming to a store near you because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The UK Standard reports Andrew Bailey told members of Parliament of the possibility of a catastrophe worldwide. I'm afraid the one I'm going to sound, I guess, apocalyptic about is our food. The report explained his concern following a meeting with the Ukrainian finance minister recently, as over future supplies of staple food. Two things the Ukrainian finance minister pointed out. One is, Ukraine does have food in store, but it cannot get it out at the moment. Two, Ukraine is the major supplier of wheat, a major supplier of cooking oil. He was pretty optimistic about planting, interestingly, but he said at the moment we have no way of shipping it out as things stand in Ukraine. And that's a major worry, and it's not just a major worry for this country, it's a major worry for the developing world. What do you think? Here come the lefties. They smell blood. Idrissi Gaia, a Muslim soccer player for French team Paris Saint-Germain, refused to wear a jersey adorned with rainbow-colored numbers in support of the LGBTQ queer agenda, and he sent out the team's 4-0 Saturday win against Montpellier. Now one activist group wants an investigation. Others want him punished. It's a crime. It's not an opinion. Players across France wore the special jerseys over the weekend in solidarity with the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, Transphobia, and every other phobia that is queer or odd or contrary to the Word of God. The manager of the team said the player's absence from the match was for personal reasons, but he is not injured. Hey, I'm all for this guy. Don't wear it. Ever. It really is a sign of the times. All good things must come to an end. Do you think so? You know what the most popular magazine or one of them has been in the last few decades? People Magazine. And now they could be scrapping the weekly print edition as the new owner looks to slash cost, even as writers privately gripe that the magazine's new editor looks to be an awkward fit for the celebrity gossip magazine. Staffers at People, a 48-year-old company, a fixture in grocery checkout lanes, beauty salons, doctor's offices, known for things like The Sexiest Man Alive. They're bracing for the magazine to go online only. It's a sign of the times. Are we not alone here? For lawmakers, a welcome respite from all the events that require you to know what Instagram is, for example. Yesterday, for the first time in 50 years, Congress public hearing on UFOs. What is going on? They want to know 400 incidents they're focusing on. Some people came forward that were reluctant to do so in the past, but now that it's out there, and that was interesting. One previously classified video revealed Tuesday showing a spherical object speeding past a U.S. fighter jet. That incident, like many others, remains unexplained. It will come to light in the Invisible War on the Saints. UFOs? Come on. You know what they are. And finally, who said that? Trust the science? That's the most anti-science statement ever. Questioning science is how you do science. From Charlie Brown. I think I've figured it out. It happens late at night over at the supermarket where I shop. Strange gnomes emerge and mess up one wheel on every cart there. And it squeals and I don't know what's happening. Every one I grab is, oh, never mind. Hey, wanted to make sure I got a plug in, and you can check this out on our website. I'll send you the link, or just Facebook me or message me or something like that. 2,000 Mules, Dinesh D'Souza. Some of that information is just incredible. How the 2020 election really was stolen, my friend. It's called 2,000 Mules. If you haven't seen it, you need to. It will arrest your thinking. It is just really kind of scary. Jesus is absolutely coming soon. What's going to happen in the upcoming election? Where's my Bible? Life 101 right after this. You just tuned in. Well, we've been looking for you. Thanks for being a part of Hello World News Information comment from a conservative Christian pastor out of the Midwest, good old Fort Wayne, Indiana, the city of churches. Thank you for being here, my friend. Thank you for your support, telling others about the broadcast. Some of you support us financially. Keep those wheels greased and keep the program going. I know you're praying for us as we become a part of Southwest Radio Church, writing here and there. Of course, Satan continues to throw one obstacle after another right in front of us. I know he does not want our new book, The Invisible War of the Saints, to get to the publisher, but it will. It will, and it's going to be such a help. And thank God for all of you that are praying for us and those of you that are getting in touch, asking for some help. We want to give it to you. That's been our main goal. It does not surprise me. So many strong Christians out there say, I've got this problem, or a family member does, or my friend, I get it. We want to help, and we're going to try to get that pamphlet out as soon as possible on some things, steps you can go through, because most people do not know where to begin. Get in touch with us, gregpatton.com. Want to help you, my brothers and sisters. Love you in the Lord. Let me ask you something. Do you wake up every morning with ugly guilt of your past still hanging around? Have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror and asked, how could God ever forgive me for what I've done? Do you ever fear that maybe you've committed the unpardonable sin? If any of these questions happens to be yours, you know, there's really good news for you today. There is a loving Heavenly Father who will forgive all of your sins, no matter what you've done, nor how long you've done it. First of all, you should realize that you're not alone. Every man and woman knows all about sin because everyone is guilty of having sinned against God. I think sometimes Christians rather flippantly, maybe they're doing the Romans road to introduce somebody to Christ, and they go to Romans 3:23, for all, A-L-L, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, oftentimes not even considering what's involved with that little word, sin. People regularly divide sin into little gray areas. Have you ever told a little white lie? You can create a little bit of gossip or a little bit of lying. However, God does not see our sin this way. Consider the list of sinners in 1 Corinthians 6:9, fornicators, those who commit sexual acts outside of marriage, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, those who engage in homosexuality, although in a passive fashion, homosexuals, thieves, covetous people, drunkards, revilers, those who use abusive language toward others, swindlers, those who use violence in their stealing. According to Paul, none of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. Isn't it interesting what God has mixed up with this passage? From homosexuality to thievery, stealing. Now, you may not put all those sins in the same category. You might, like most people do, settle sins out and kind of divide them into black areas and gray areas, and maybe we can better distinguish between these. Yet each of these different sins carries the same condemnation, doesn't it, or am I wrong? The punishment mentioned here, failure to inherit the kingdom of God, needs to be examined a little more closely. Does this mean that anyone who steals is not going to inherit the kingdom? Are these sins therefore unpardonable? The answer? No. Paul's not referring to a person who commits acts of sin, such as stealing, once or twice in his life. What he's referring to is a lifestyle, a total mindset here. You can see this in phrase 1, verse 11 there. Such were some of you. The were there indicates, well, something that was going on in the past, that is, on a continual basis. This reveals a lifestyle, a pattern of behavior by which a person continually commits the same sin over and over again while kind of rationalizing the sin away. However, despite their rationalizations, the apostle stands firm here. He says the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived, he says. Don't be misled. In this passage, Paul is informing the Corinthians that they are simply confused if they think a person can live ongoing in sin, a lifestyle of sin, and still inherit the kingdom of God. He says, no, that's not so. Having understood that no one is a stranger to sin, the next most relevant question is, will God forgive every sin, everyone? The answer, yes. However, you need to understand that God hates all sin, and it makes no difference what the nature of that sin is. He hates sin because what it does to his children, both believers and unbelievers here. He knows its destructive power. He knows how sin deceitfully creeps into your life under the false pretense of control. Regardless of how in control you may feel, you will soon realize that you're paralyzed by sin. And all of a sudden, hey, I'm chained by it and unable to break free or walk away from this thing. Now you may be asking, I'm a homosexual. I'm an adulterer. I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of that. Just fill in the blank. God, forgive me. Can he do that? It is possible for God to forgive me for breaking someone's home up, for abusing my wife, for many years of actively practicing homosexuality. The answer is still yes. God will forgive every sin. What you need to understand is how God forgives. How does he do that? So that you may learn to be free from the burden of guilt over sins which have already been forgiven by God. God does not forgive sin because you promise not to do it again. He does forgive sin because you promise to do better. Oh, no, that's not true either, is it? No. God forgives sin only on one basis. This single basis is seen most clearly in Ephesians 1:7. In him, Jesus Christ, we have redemption. That is, God's purchased you through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 also makes a great point. You were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Jesus Christ. So the only way for sin to be forgiven is this, that Jesus Christ came into the world and died at Calvary, shedding his blood for your sins, that the forgiveness of sin is based wholly on his death then. And furthermore, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit will come into your life, and therefore you'll have a new spirit as well as a new mindset. At that time, you're going to be able to set your mind on things above, on the things of God. Whereas your sinfulness resulted in the mindset and the lifestyle of being wicked and disobedient and evil, and the fulfillment of your own sinful desires, not anymore. Isn't that great news? God, really? You will forgive? One of the key things to remember here is a person realizes that forgiveness is not something that he can do, but something that he receives as a result of Jesus Christ shedding his precious blood. If not, there is no forgiveness. Don't let the devil beat you up. A man, a woman, is what he thinks about all day long, so set your mind on things above and not on things on this earth. God, can you really forgive me?
And finally, and I'm looking on Facebook, on the left side, here's a picture of me, fat and flabby and all of that. And the ad says, in only 1 month, you can do it too. And there's this muscular, the same guy with super abs on the right. Photoshop courses. Here's the caption. Photoshop courses, the best tool to change the looks of your body. I think the only answer for me, get bigger clothing here, larger sizes. What do you think? I mean, I'm 75. Do I really care? Oh, that's it. Had my say for another day, my friend. Thanks so much for being here, telling others about the broadcast. Join me on Facebook, Greg Jerry G. Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Go to gregpatton.com if you'd like to hear last week, last year's, 4 years ago program. They're all right there. Need help? We want to get it into your hands. gregpatton.com. I have this problem. Could you help? Let's see, gregpatton.com. Until tomorrow, same time, same place. God bless. Enjoy the remainder of your Wednesday.